This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. It's 7:35. Today, we begin a four-part series of stories about the drug heroin and how it's affecting the state of West Virginia. A recent Associated Press news story revealed heroin deaths in West Virginia have nearly doubled since 2010. Beneduccio reports on why heroin is getting into the hands of so many people.
Since 2001, overdose deaths due to heroin use in West Virginia have increased steadily. According to statistics analyzed by West Virginia Public Radio from the Department of Health and Human Resources Health Statistics Center, heroin-related overdoses accounted for 67 total deaths in 2012, up from only 9 back in 2001. The total number of deaths attributed to heroin overdoses over all those years is 296. It's a problem that seems to affect men more than women. All but 50 of those deaths were males. Simply put, more people are dying from heroin, and that's because more West Virginians seem to be using it. But what exactly does heroin look like, and how is it used? Carrie Ozellis knows something about that. She's the section supervisor of the Drug Identification Section at the West Virginia State Police Forensic Lab.
Heroin is a drug, its appearance, as far as its physical characteristics, it's generally a granular powder. It's generally tan in color. It comes to us various different ways. It can be from a controlled buy, so a purchase from a drug dealer. A lot of the heroin, that's how we see, is from just routine buys on the street, from undercover officers making the buys or from confidential informants making the buys.
There's a pattern forming, Ozellis says, in terms of how much heroin seems to be crossing her threshold and how it's packaged. She says this can actually help law enforcement figure out where it's coming from.
It comes in a very small quantity. Heroin, generally, when we get it, it weighs 0.01 grams. So a sugar packet is 1 gram. So it weighs like a tenth of that. It comes in, generally, packaging is a wax paper bag called a bindle. So it's like a very small paper bag. Sometimes it's stamped with different markings, like it'll say 9mm or Flintstones or something that's unique to the actual drug dealer or to the area that he's coming from or he or she is getting their stuff from. We've seen them with all different kinds of things, like emblems for like cars and different things like that. Some of the officers can tie those back to the different areas that they initially came from.
No matter where it is coming from, the state forensics lab is seeing more of it. Ozellis says cases involving heroin are becoming quite commonplace.
As far as heroin is concerned, I started in 2001, and in 2001, I rarely saw heroin. Heroin just, it was here, but it wasn't here in a large amount. We saw more cocaine base 14 years ago. That's a lot of what we were seeing. Now we're starting to see the heroin. The heroin has kind of replaced, I want to say, the oxycodone. We're still seeing them. We're seeing them a lot less than what we did, 2 years ago. The heroin is just crazy how much we've seen of it. I would say anywhere from 2/3 to 3/4 of the cases we're receiving right now on a daily basis is either all heroin or has heroin mixed in with it.
Dr. Carl Sullivan is the director of addiction programs at West Virginia University. He says opioids like heroin and prescription drugs do a lot of different things to the body.
They provide pain relief. They provide euphoria. They provide, which is what most people are looking for. They also cause constipation. They cause your eyeballs to, your pupils to constrict. They do a lot of things. They relieve anxiety indirectly. But primarily what most people use heroin for, none of the above, with the exception of euphoria, heroin within, if you inject it intravenously within a minute or two, will produce an intense euphoria that lasts for several minutes before it starts to wane away.
Heroin is an opioid and it's illegal, but it wasn't always that way. Sullivan says it was once legal to use heroin and it was a substitute for morphine many years ago. Sullivan says heroin proved to be more addictive than morphine and doctors misjudged just how addictive it could be. And not only is it addictive, Sullivan says it serves as a substitute for pills when they aren't available to people needing that fix.
20 years ago, there was a kind of a social movement in the United States, a very powerful social movement that said that pain was undertreated in the United States. And this led to a, I hate to say it's an explosion, but certainly a drastic increase in the number of patients who started to receive prescription opioids. Heroin is an opioid, it's just illegal, but there are lots of prescription drugs that are very similar to heroin. Over time, over the past 20 years, doctors and people in the community, patients, everyone, law enforcement has kind of come to understand these drugs have serious problems and, as you know, have led to lots of deaths themselves.
But the damage was done, as many people had developed an opioid addiction over time to these prescriptions. Sullivan explains this is one drug habit that is incredibly difficult to break.
The problem is now is that we have a large group of patients who have been exposed to opioids, who are dependent, addicted to opioids. And what has come in to fill that gap, as the number of prescriptions available have gone down, is heroin. And heroin is, it's illegal, obviously. It turns out it's much cheaper to buy on the street than most the prescription opioids were. And heroin has met the demand of patients who otherwise can't get the drugs.
And heroin is being used all over the state. According to data from the West Virginia Health Statistics Center, 59 of the state's heroin overdose deaths since 2001 occurred in Berkeley County in the Eastern Panhandle, while 41 occurred in Cabell and 30 were from Monongalia. Then Kanawha and Jefferson round out the top five. William Ehlenfeld is the United States District Attorney for the Northern District of West Virginia. He says West Virginia's heroin originates in Mexico, comes into the country through couriers, and makes its way to our state via several cities.
From Chicago, from Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Philadelphia, along with the major cities in Ohio and Michigan. For example, in the northern panhandle of West Virginia, there is a lot of heroin that comes to that part of the state from Chicago, and there's a pipeline, if you will, from Chicago to eastern Ohio, and then it filters its way down to West Virginia. In the eastern panhandle, most of the heroin that we see originates, well, at least the step before it gets to West Virginia is Baltimore, and then it flows down into the eastern panhandle.
Statistics are being finalized for the number of overdose deaths in 2013. But according to the West Virginia Health Statistics Center, the estimated number is 129. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Beneduccio in Morgantown.
Tomorrow, we'll continue our series with a look into the lives of people who are struggling with heroin addiction. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:43. Our weather forecast from today through Thursday, variable cloudiness with a chance of rain and thunderstorms each day. Temperatures ranging from the upper 70s into the mid 80s with overnight lows in the mid 50s to the mid 60s.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by Tamarack, the best of West Virginia. Serving the fried greed tomato sandwich from 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. Located at Exit 45 off I-77 and I-64 in Beckley. Facebook.com/TamarackWV.
Community and technical colleges have started noticing a trend that's consistent not just here in West Virginia, but across the country. That trend, students who are enrolled in developmental courses when they enter a higher education institution are less likely to graduate. Now, West Virginia's community and technical college system is doing something to change that. Ashton Mara reports.
13% of the students that go in developmental or remedial courses graduate. Only 13%.
James Skidmore is the chancellor of West Virginia's community and technical college system, and he shared those statistics with the State Board of Education at their May meeting. Skidmore says 64% of first-time community college students in the state test into developmental or remedial courses, meaning they aren't ready to take on college-level classes in English or math. But Skidmore says when they take those developmental courses, they get stuck in the system. and never graduate.
They're getting caught up in the developmental education process. Some students have to take three levels of developmental, some have to take one, or some have to take two. I refer to it as the quicksand of higher education. Mm-hmm. Students get in, developmental, and they never get out.
And Skidmore says nationally, those numbers are similar. So the state community and technical college system is working to find a way to change those statistics and help more of their students successfully complete their chosen programs.
And we have decided that as a community college system, we will do co-requisites, which is students going into the college level math or English with help.
Instead of taking remediation courses, which do not count for college credit, West Virginia community colleges will begin offering what Skidmore is referring to as co-requisites. These are courses that count as a college-level English or math class, but have additional support for the students that need it. That support can come in three forms. The first is what Skidmore refers to as boot camp. It's a 5-week prep course to prepare students for college-level classes. The second are additional time, either a 45-minute tutoring meeting following each class or additional sessions for students who need more time. The third form of support, proctored labs, a scheduled time for students to go into computer labs and work on the areas where they need the most help with a member of the college's faculty. Skidmore says finding a creative way to help these students graduate is becoming more and more important each year. He says these colleges are working to train a workforce that is necessary to improve the state's economy. Community colleges have an open enrollment policy, so it doesn't matter what rank a student graduated in high school or what their test scores look like in order for them to start a college program. What matters, Skidmore says, is the effort he or she is placing on completing that program and becoming a member of that essential workforce.
If a student comes to us, they've taken the step to come to college. So it's our responsibility to do everything we can to help that student meet their educational objective, whether that's a 1-year degree program or a 2-year degree program or a skill set. So it's a joint responsibility. Students have obligations they have to live up to. They have to come to class. They have to study. But we have to deliver the program in a way that enables them to be successful.
Each community and technical college across the state will choose which of the three models will work best for them based on the programs they offer and the types of students they attract. Skidmore says colleges are not limited to one method, but they must have one for both math and English fully implemented by the fall of 2015. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ben Aduccio. Our director is Chuck Anzalevich. I'm Beth Voorhees.